the critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryou.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we bring on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows you would watch on a loop forever?
That's right. On each episode, our guests will pick two shows in each of the three BFF categories, those being their best, favorite, and forever shows, while choosing from the three genres of TV, which we are categorizing as drama, comedy, and all things unscripted. Today, we have an amazing guest, you guys. I am so excited that she is with us. She is an amazing television executive at A&E. She is the co-host of another fabulous podcast that you should definitely get in your rotation called The Table Is Ours. And fun fact, she is a Forbes 30 under 30, y'all. Okay, please welcome Amira Lawali.
Oh my gosh, what an intro. Brandi, I'm blushing. That's so nice.
Well, it's all true.
Hey, y'all. I'm very excited about this.
We're so excited to have you on. Thanks for coming.
Of course. I was like, the moment I heard about it, I was like, I have to join. I have so many opinions. But also, can I just say, this is like very stressful to like dwindle down. Like, I love TV so much. I felt like I was betraying my favorite characters.
Sure.
And yeah. I think I might have dreamt about it. Like, I felt some of them like came back for me. So it was like an internal debate. I don't know how anyone does this. I don't know how you guys do this.
It is a tricky thing. Like, the bigger TV fan you are, the more difficult the exercise is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Amira, like Brandi mentioned in your intro, so you are a TV executive, you work in TV, like you just mentioned. So what types of shows do you work on? What types of projects are you producing? Like, tell us a little bit about your professional background.
Yeah, I work in unscripted too. My specialty is kind of like biographies. So we did the Bobby Brown biography. We did Garth Brooks a few years ago. We were working on ODB right now. I love like telling like a new way into someone's like story that they've told before, but it's like a 2022 lens. It's like my sweet spot. I also work on everything Secrets of on A&E. So we just finished up Secrets of Playboy, which was like a great show, but also a very painful show to work on. So it was a great experience overall. I used to work on like the homegrown A&E show. So I worked on Hoarders for a bit, Her Hot Second.
Oh, classic. Sure.
Yeah. I still do Court Cam. A&E's like a cluster of so many shows. So I feel like I've covered a lot of unscripted.
That's awesome. Amira, so before we get to your six, let's talk about a few of the shows that didn't quite make your criteria, but were in the mix. So we call these the almost shows. So they're not your BFFs. They're still in the running, but didn't quite make it. So what is on your almost list?
Okay, I had a lot of almost. So feel free to cut me off because it can go on for a while. This is very hard, guys. My first almost, I had to fight with myself not to put it on a list. And I like literally wrote rules why it did not belong there. But it is a show so true to my heart. It is Girlfriends.
Oh, it's a great show.
I love that show for so many reasons. One, I'm like obsessed with one of like core pillars in life period is like Black female friendship. So to see it shown like that, I was like, I feel like that's where my personality came from. Not going to lie. Just how real every single version of a girlfriend was on that show and how they developed and how friendships broke up. I thought it was just easy to connect to. The only reason why I couldn't put on my list is because the way that show ended broke my heart. Mm. I still think whoever ended it that way deserves an electric chair. There is no reason. I am very passionate about how they cut that show off with like no ending.
Yeah, it was just like, because it was on UPN, right?
Yep.
And they were like, UPN is no longer.
Yep.
And no show that's on UPN is going to
anywhere. A middle of a season. Nothing was resolved. Nothing was settled. So it and I think it's interesting watching it back now versus when I was younger, because who I thought was the protagonist is definitely not. Not anymore. She's a terrible person.
Oh no.
So it's great. I think it still holds.
That's awesome. Okay. So we got Girlfriends. What else was close?
Okay. Scandal.
Okay.
Great almost pick.
I love Scandal. And the reason why I couldn't put it on the list is because I am a scaredy cat at heart. Okay. Like, I don't like things to go boom. I don't like surprises. it was like a little too, like, actiony and terror is too much. And I know you're like, Scandal wasn't scary. There were scenes where people died, and I like that. Even though I work in true crime, I can do true killing. I can't do fake killing. Like, it's something with me. So, but the fact that I stuck with it, that's how obsessed I was with it. And it was like, it was Olivia Pope. She was like young hottie with a body, like taking things, energy, boss girl. And that's, I'm basic. So it like hooked me in very easily. Like, I'm easy to win over. It was an easy win for me.
Fun show, fun show. Okay, a couple fun shows here. Love it. What else was close on your almost list?
Okay, Superstore.
Tell me about this, because I feel like I saw all the ads for Superstore when it was coming out, and it seemed like a show that like I could definitely have gotten into, but I just like I never made the appointment to view.
Same. Yeah. Pitch us on Superstore. What are we missing?
It is a hidden gem. And I think we all work in unscripted, right?
That's right. Yep.
When I think about Superstore, it's like all the times are always like, what is like a basic unit that connects all people, right? Like that's a trope that we all trying to find. Like, what is every? Oh, Walmart. This show is based on a fake Walmart. And I think because it's such like a basic space, they can hit every single issue in a very, very smart way. For example, they have an episode, they have two episodes about immigration, right? They go over immigration, the whole from left to right. And everybody can catch these hands on their stances of immigration. They read everybody to filth, and it lets you leave thinking, am I right? I get why they think that. I think I may be wrong now. So the fact that we can hit these big topics like immigration, teen pregnancy, social healthcare, how much like we belong to each other and whether we don't or do and what we should give to people in the most hilarious way. It's one of the shows I could just watch forever if it would have lasted longer. Like, I think my forevers have so many seasons and I could watch them over and over again that it was just too hard of a
okay. Lane. So a little bit of strategy. I like it. Okay.
Yeah. I had to get strategic. I was like, two shows per category, y'all?
You're like, I love TV. I can't do two shows.
That was me. Sorry, that was me.
Dan's like a game show guy at heart.
Yeah. I can tell because you like drama. Because I felt like those were like fight words, you know?
Do we have any more almost shows before we start diving in?
I do, but I'm going to rush through them because I have so many. I feel bad.
That's okay.
I love Shark Tank. I'm going to admit it. I don't care. I love that little capitalist show so much.
It has come up a few times. Never in a criteria.
I mean, I'm actually surprised that we haven't gotten Shark Tank more. I feel like we've had it as an almost show a few times. A
couple times.
It feels like a kind of great pick as a forever show.
I 100% would. Like, it almost made a forever show. One last one, and then we can move on. Love Life on HBO. Did y'all watch that?
No.
Is this the Anna Kendrick, and then it was...
She was first season.
Oh.
Okay, I keep hearing about this, and it's on my list, and every time it comes up, it's like, it inches higher and higher and higher.
I love that show. If it has one more season that I love and I'm obsessed with, it would make my list. And I love that every season is like a decade in how you date. Like,
oh, it's a full decade.
Well, that's what I realized when we got to season two. Like, Anna Kendrick's season was all about like loving your 20s. Mm. And then I call him Chidi because I don't know his real name, but I love him from Good Place. His season was all about loving your 30s.
Yeah. Mm. William Jackson Harper.
William Jackson Harper, my fave. His season in particular had the nuances of like race and interracial dating and then like your father-daughter relationship and like dating your 30s after divorce. And it was so good. And compare dating in your 20s to your dating in your 30s. And I was just like, I love this. I can't wait till they do 40s. But it was so well written and it was so good.
That's a strong almost list.
Yeah, that's a good almost list. You know what? Let's get to your BFF criteria.
Okay.
You know, we asked you to pick two shows in each category. And so those being your best, favorite, and forever shows. So your best shows are the ones that you think are just the most artistic, the most well-executed, just the overall best-made shows that you've ever seen. Your favorite shows are the ones that hold a place near and dear to your heart and just mean something to you personally. And then the forever category, if in the afterlife you get to choose two shows to watch in order from pilot to finale over and over for infinity, what are they?
That's right. Now, a couple points of order. So for each category, we have you choose from the three overall genres of TV, which are comedy, drama, and unscripted. With unscripted meaning everything from reality shows to documentary series to game shows, everything in between. There must be multiple episodes, so no one-offs allowed, no one-off docs. Other than that, it can be anything, and there are no such things as guilty pleasure. So if you love trash TV, let's talk about it.
Great. I love this. I love a no judgment room.
Exactly. No judgment
yes,
zone.
This is a no judgment universe.
That's right. Unless you break the one rule, which is this. You cannot double up a genre in two of the three categories. So for instance, you put two dramas in your best, then your other two categories can't repeat a genre. Make sense?
It makes sense. And that was a very hard rule, but I respect it. I respect rules.
I mean, listen, you know, our day job is formatting, so we have to put a little bit on there. You know what I mean? All right. So let's get into it. Amira, what is your first best show?
Okay. Because of the guidelines you gave me for best, I felt like this had to be number one for me. And it is I May Destroy You by Michaela Cole. That painful, beautiful, heartbreaking, well-written show. I 100% think I May Destroy You hasn't been given the flowers that it deserves.
No.
You are absolutely right. And it's such a great best pick because it truly was. It's an amazing, amazing show. Like, so well done.
Amazing.
So we always ask our guests to kind of send us the shows that will be in the mix ahead of time so we could catch up on anything we don't know. I have seen I May Destroy You, but I haven't seen it since it came out like 2 years ago. So literally this evening before we signed on, I watched the first two episodes and then the finale. Like, I hadn't been in it in a while. And like, that's the sort of show that, you know, not an easy watch. But to your point, it's a difficult, but somehow funny and fun and lived in and like a lot of personality. And it's a vibe. There's something about it. It's really tough to explain, but great best pick. For those who haven't seen it, what is the show? What is it about? What's the premise?
Okay, well, trigger warning for anyone. Before you go into that, just make sure that you are hopefully in a good space because the whole premise of the show is consent. And I think why I love that show so much is looking back, it's about consent in every single relationship in your life. It's dating, it's friendships, it's works. Like the fact when I got to the point where it's consent and friendship, like what you owe your best friend in safety, I was like, this is beautiful. But it follows Michaela Cole, who I love. I love a Brit. I love a little Brit.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's British, we know she's not going to do a second season. You know, they don't do that. But it's about Michaela Cole, and she's a young writer about to blow up. She goes out one night, gets drugged, and is sexually assaulted. And the whole series is about her getting through that. And it's the different stages of getting through that with her friends, by herself, going back to how she relates to her family. And it is like the most tragically, beautifully written season of TV I've seen in a very long time. The way that it chooses to put, does it choose or does not choose, depend what side of the show you're on, to put blame on certain people and where you see them and what we owe people as people in friendships and protection and how we celebrate each other is amazing. And it's all about consent. And it's in consent in ways that made me rethink of what I think consent is.
I took Bob aside. I said, can you stop? Barely finished speaking before he's looking all horrified, saying he'll never talk to me again because it's safer. Looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well, Bob probably does think you're crazy. He thinks this is all a little uncalled for and this personal space thing is all going a bit too far. And he's very confident in his view because he's gone exploring to see for himself what boundaries and violations these women might be banging on about because Bob's thorough. And on these explorations, Bob found the line that separated him from everything else. Rather than crossing it, he tiptoed on it. We can't articulate, we fuddle our words. We couldn't pinpoint exactly what it was he did that we felt was so wrong. So yeah, Bob thinks you're crazy. Yeah, he thinks he's the smartest man in the room who knoweth all things because Bob has observed the detail. We have to start observing Bob. Telling him we do see the detail. And in that place, where rules, clarity, law, and separation cease to exist, we will show you exactly what we mean by violation.
The characters were so real and lived in. And when these things, like I'm specifically thinking about the episode with her best guy friend, who was gay. And like when he basically like did not consent at the apartment of that guy and just like how quickly it happened and how he, like, his reaction afterwards was just like, it was so real, because I feel like you hear about these things and you have your idea in your head of like, oh my God, like that must have been so terrible. That was so awful. And it's like, these are all such awful things, but when they happen, it's so quiet. Like, it's so quiet and just like done and almost to the naked eye looks insignificant. But like, that broke that guy.
100%. And then I think what's interesting, he just kind of like moved on. And I was like, oh, life is so painful.
Yeah.
And it's funny you mentioned these things can be so quiet. And that makes me think of the finale, which I, you know, literally just watched an hour ago. And it's beautifully done. It's a little bit of a, wait, what am I watching? Is this real? What is happening? It's basically, you know, and spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it yet, and I won't get too detailed here, but it's basically Michaela Cole's character, Arabella, visualizing how she would react if she were to confront her assaulter again. And it kind of goes a couple different ways. And then at the end, you realize this is all kind of in her head. And it's up to her to allow herself to let this guy go on her own terms. So it is, what you're watching is a really quiet moment of Arabella just kind of sitting on her patio with her roommate, just kind of thinking. But you see it play out in her head in these different scenes. And I'm not describing it very well because I can't.
No, it's a hard show to describe to people. It's like, oh, well, you should really watch this show because, like, it's, you know, it's so well done. It's so good. It's like, it takes these really tough subjects to talk about and experience, and like really does it in a really, I think, wonderful way.
Yeah. There's just so many layers to her writing in it. And you kind of debate everyone and whether, and but you support everyone. Like when she broke into the house, I was like, girl, like you, now you don't consent. Now you ruined it. Now you took someone else's agency and I think he's right. And if you let me side with a man that I don't know, you must be wrong. So I was so mad at her.
Thorny show, a very, very thorny, but thrilling at the same time. Wow. Starting off very strong, Amira.
Very heavy.
Very heavy. How would you categorize the show? Are you putting this in as a drama or a comedy?
I don't know, because it's Michaela Cole and everything she does is funny. But right. It's a drama. It has to be a drama. It is so, I don't know, I guess there are dark comedies, but I don't think I've had a comedy that's this painful in the way that it is.
It is that weird thing, though. It's a 30-minute show. But it is, yeah. It is a 30-minute drama, which we're seeing more and more of these days. But I think you're right. I would, if it were me, I'd probably put it in as a drama as well. Okay, so that said, what are you putting up next to I May Destroy You as your second best show?
Okay, vibe switch, guys.
Okay.
Vibe switch.
We're ready for it.
This Is Us.
Okay. Emotional because, in very different ways.
Very different ways.
I'm so happy to see this in someone's criteria because I love talking about it.
This is a first.
I feel like I won. Okay, great. This show is so good, y'all. Okay, can I just tell you, what other show makes you cry every week? On a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Why am I crying on my sister's couch? I just...
And like, real sobs.
Oh, bawling.
Not just a single tear, but like, I need a tissue.
Like, take off the glasses, wiping my face. Yeah.
The family dynamics. It's not a genre I usually watch that I'm addicted to. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a comedy girl, like, through and through when I'm, like, not getting paid to work on shows. Like, that's my heart. But it is so good. It was so addicting. The first episode got me because I was like, how are all these people connected?
Right. Yeah.
And you're going to tell me. And the fact, if I can stay with a show for seasons, even though you kill one of my favorite characters, then you have me. I'm stuck. I'm yours.
The reveal that Jack was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been. I feel like the first, how many seasons did it go? Seven seasons? Six seasons.
This last one was its
it was the sixth.
Last. Mm-hmm. It was six, I think. Yeah.
I feel like seasons 1 through 4, tears, tears, tears. Season 5, I feel like the tears didn't come like as much.
Bit of a lull.
But then like season 6, when we were back and I knew we were heading to the end, I was done. I will say my one problem with the show is that Kevin was so good looking.
Yes.
And was like this famous actor, right? I'm like, this guy is like Brad Pitt level hot and famous. And, like, how are people not just always noticing him?
That's true.
Towards the end, they did a little bit more.
Oh, I'm sorry. When John Legend gave the private concert.
Forgot about that episode.
Yeah. That was in the weirdness of season 5.
Y'all, You're right. You're right. That was a weird season. Now you pointed out, I remember. It was weird. I don't know. I fell in love with all of them. I think Kate pissed me off from the beginning because I was like, I think you're bullying your mother.
Yeah.
Like, I think...
Mandy Moore, like Rebecca Malone. So my son's name is Malone. And when we found out that Rebecca's maiden name was Malone, my husband was like,
I love that you call her that.
Should we tell everyone that we named Malone after Rebecca?
Yes. Are you? Because you should tell people
that. I have started to.
Such a good show. I'm so happy it was the first one.
Yes. I will say I was a little surprised to see it in a best. It feels maybe more like a favorite show to me. So I'm intrigued to get to your favorites. But before we do, like any final thoughts on This Is Us and why it's specifically in your best category?
I think they let every character be so whole. And I think I knew it was my best when Randall and Beth were fighting and we didn't know they were going to break up. And that affected my mood. Like in real life.
Oh, when they had the flash forward and you just see that she's at the school and you don't know if it's, and it's like, and he looks kind of like dejected and it's like.
Yes. And that is like my favorite couple of life. When I realized that effect, I was like sad. I was like, this is my show. Can they hurry up? Can we fix this, please? Like, I can't, please don't break up.
Like if Randall and Beth can't make it through,
no one can.
Honestly, I was dating someone at the time when we were watching this, and she's like, if they don't get back together, then love is dead and we don't stand a chance.
It doesn't matter. if they can't make their love story, like there's so many great love stories, but that black love story, like if that didn't last, I think I would have, I don't know if I would still be doing TV because like, what are we doing? Like, where's the happiness and joy in life?
What are we doing? Exactly.
I also have to say about like their like amazing black love that I am really happy that, and I don't know if this was something that the showrunners and the creators thought about like from the jump, but that they actually addressed the fact that like this white family adopted this black child and like what that means. You know what I mean? But like, it wasn't just a plot point.
No.
Like, it actually was this is what it is like for that to happen. And yeah. I was really, really glad that I felt that they addressed that in a really real way.
And they addressed that in two points I specifically remember. One, there was like a whole pool episode where Randall connected to family. But two, like, look, after 2020, every network, every show felt like they had to address race in a different way. And they had an opportunity where it could have gone really badly. I feel like that fight between Kevin and Randall, the little undertones of it were placed in season one. So I believed it. And what was said, I believed it. Like I believed how awkward that conversation was for all of them. So how they handle race, it's not too on the nose. It doesn't feel super fake. And the conversations and challenges that Randall makes them do feels very real.
A very human show.
Yeah.
This is us.
So good.
Wow. Heavy hitters in the best category. Let's move on to your favorites. What is your first favorite show?
Okay. This is a show that you're either in it or you're not. And when I talk to people, they've either watched the show since like they were 10 or they just don't watch it. Big Brother. The social experiment of all social experiments.
Okay. All right. So
this is also a first, right?
This is a first pick. This is another first pick. Amir, I think you're right. I unfortunately am in the camp of have never seen an episode. I know about it.
As am I.
I'm going to convert y'all.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm going
to sell us.
If you are fresh to Big Brother, I always advise you to go back and watch OG Big Brother. It's on like season 25. So sorry, but you got something to binge over the holidays.
Okay.
Big Brother is a social experiment where people come into a game. They fight for head of household. Head of household is the only person that's safe that week. They put up two people for elimination. They play another game. There's a power veto. One person gets taken down. So there's two people still on the block and you vote out one person each week. Very simple. The dynamics of this show, I am telling you, it is a case study on real life. Every season of Big Brother reflects exactly where we are as a people, as a country. I promise you, my fiance is so happy I'm talking to y'all about it because it's been a month since that show ended and I have not stopped talking about this last season.
Okay.
To understand what this show represents to me, like, let's go back to like very early seasons. And it showed that there was a Black woman named Danielle who literally owned that season. This show was all about like strategic gameplay. You don't have to be the best at like games the most fit, but you need to know how to manipulate people or right. have very true friendships where they want to vote for you. Because everyone you vote out, like the final 10, they vote for who wins. Right.
Okay, so it's got a little bit of Survivor.
It's Survivor-ish, yeah.
Okay, but then also it feels like a little bit, so Brandy and I are both huge. Where we lack in Big Brother, we overcorrect in The Challenge.
Oh, I love The Challenge.
Love The Challenge. And what you're saying about Big Brother now is making sense for some of the, like, I'm thinking of Casey and Josh, and actually Josh. Particular.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started. Big Brother is why I will never root for Josh.
I will never root for Josh because of The Challenge. I hate Josh. Yeah,
we got to go back. That means you need to go watch his season to understand why Josh is the way Josh is. And Fessy,
okay. Oh,
we got to talk for real about The Challenge. Hey, because once they started merging Big Brother people in, Sorry.
Listen.
I can write a thesis on this.
We could sidebar. When they started adding Big Brother, that's when I think that the downward slide started.
I get it.
And now they're trying to correct course by, I think, adding in Survivor folks.
A little more gameplay, a little more manipulation. Yeah.
I think are a little bit more apt for The Challenge, whereas Big Brother is just like a very quiet whisper, just social game. I don't know. It doesn't quite match up. And then they always group together and it's tough sledding. Although some people have, like Casey, I do like, and some people have kind of risen up. But
see, because of Big Brother, I don't. I will never forgive that.
No.
Well,
shit.
No, I actually didn't like her because she turned on Bailey from Big Brother. But her season of Big Brother, when Casey was on, is another reflection of how different dynamics of people in different subsets of people actually react. Like, you can be in an alliance, but how a white man interacts with a black woman and a Hispanic, it all comes out in the show. It's on my favorite, but if you go through my messages every single day, I'm like, I can never go back to watching the show. It is so painful to watch in real time. Because I not only watch the show that's edited, but me and my family, we watch the live feeds.
You do the live feeds? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm addicted. And
What's the live feed?
They watch these people 24 hours.
It's Big Brother, Brandy. Someone's always watching.
I watch their real conversations where they say the most horrible things about people. The best moments, but also like the worst part of people you will see. And when you look into it, it's like, that's how they treat people who are different from them. And it's absolutely disgusting. So this last season, they all bullied a dark-skinned black girl. And I think what hurts the most, like, we're all on TV. And I think the people who made the show were like, well, it's 50-50. Like, it's not going to be biased or anything. And I think not understanding the nuances of how black men treat dark-skinned black women, how light-skinned black women teach dark-skinned black women didn't make them protect her in a way that I every week wanted to quit the show.
Oh, wow.
But, because this girl is not me, because I would have got kicked off the show. But because she is the most gracious, greatest person and won them all over. She ended up winning the show. And for me, that is the best moment in history for TV, period.
Wow.
To see it come all around and for her to get what she deserves was extremely painful, but it felt like a win that I like, it lit me up. That's it. That's like my top moment of TV, period.
Jury members, Monty may have more blood on his hands than me, but as someone who has sat on this eviction block 6 times on eviction night, I have bled out the most in this game, but I have bandaged myself together every single time and gotten up and continued to fight because, like so many other women in the world, that is what we have to do to get to the end. We have to take care of ourselves and put ourselves first while also looking out for the rest of the ones who are behind us. I have been falsely accused and unjustly accused of using someone's mental health as a piece in this game, as someone's sick mother as a piece to use in this game. I've been called the B word so many more times in this house than I have in my real life. Not to mention, there was an attempted all-white alliance formed, and I had to sit on the block, was left on the block next to the person who tried to form that alliance.
That's wow. Awesome. Okay.
It's so good. It's so good, y'all. It would have been my forever, except the show makes me so angry. Like, if it was a forever show, like you said, that it was playing, like, when I was in afterlife, I would have high blood pressure in the afterlife. Right. And that's not peaceful.
Like, I need to be chilled in the afterlife. Yeah. I can't be stressed out about you people being racist.
No, I can't.
Amir, what's next to Big Brother is your second favorite show?
Okay, totally different vibe. Totally different vibe. I love children's TV. Like, I could watch children's TV every day and be very happy and probably not watch anything else. I was obsessed with the show As Told by Ginger.
Such a good show. And I am with you, even though I was way too old to be watching the show. Like, I think I was in college when it came out, but like, I was so happy when I saw this was on your list. Like, it really, like, it just, it warmed my heart because I hadn't thought about it in forever. And I was like, such a good show. I'm constantly quoting Miranda.
That's the first show that I binged when COVID first started. Like, those first 2 weeks, I went to go rewatch every episode, and it's Stehold. I don't know what it is. I love that little redhead curly girl. I love Ginger so much.
She's so great.
She's the sweetest, the greatest. That show is amazing. Like, it's for a cartoon, the subjects they handled, like, and how they did it well. It was so light and funny. I love a little middle school drama. Middle school is a perfect age to talk about the worst things. Like, we're all terrible people in middle school, so it's like equal ground.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's like the Pen 15 of it all, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, As Told by Ginger, Amira kind of give us like a little, the log line, top line. It was a Nickelodeon cartoon. It was done by the same animators that did like Rugrats. So it's mm-hmm. got that's the look that it has. Like, it was a real cartoon.
Yeah. I didn't watch the show, but at the office today, I'm like, has anyone heard of As Told by Ginger? And like, everyone around the table was like, As Told by Ginger. And then I looked it up. I turned on the theme song and everyone started singing.
Ooh, the theme song is a jam. Someone once told me the grass is much greener on the other side. Well, I paid a visit. While it's possible I missed it. It seemed different, yet exactly the same.
Nickelodeon.
Macy Gray, yeah. We digress. So what is the top line of As Told by Ginger?
It is a cartoon about a curly redhead girl, middle school, figuring it out with friends and relationships in middle school and a single mom who works really hard and even getting into her dad's relationship. It's just a beautiful, light show. The way they handle topics, I like really respected. And everyone around her, they're not terrible people. Like, there's no one terrible. There's no antagonist. Like, even the mean girl isn't really that mean, and they give her a moment where you're like, okay, girl, I get you. I get why you did that.
It's like, it's really a delightful show. And honestly, it's a show that like made me, like, my eventual goal, even though right now I make television for men, the History Channel skews very male.
Masculine.
My dream is to make comedy television for preteen girls. And As Told by Ginger is one of the shows that really inspired me to want to do that.
I get it. I totally get it. Especially because I love kids TV because it's all comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I make true crime. So what happened? Where's the connection?
Yeah.
What happened there? Oh my gosh. The episode where she got lice. And look, I never got lice.
Every kid show had a lice episode, by the way.
Because
It was our biggest fear
you
growing
felt
up.
Left out because you
felt
didn't get
so
lice.
Left out.
My favorite line though from As Told by Ginger is, so the Ginger's kind of antagonist is this girl named Miranda, who like is basically just like she's a mean girl, but like,
I love her though.
She's where it's at. Like, I would have been friends with her.
Yeah. Which made me realize, I was like, am I mean? A little.
Because like somebody said something to her and she was like, I'm not mean. She's like, I'm naturally suspicious.
It's just the best line.
Which is such a great line. I was like, you know what? Like, I feel that I too am sometimes naturally suspicious.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Top 10 character.
Yeah. See, now the true crime programming makes a little bit more sense. Right?
My dark side.
Naturally suspicious.
Naturally suspicious. I don't trust anything, y'all.
All right. Awesome. So Big Brother, As Told by Ginger, very solid favorite picks.
Thank you.
What do we have going for your forever shows? What's your first pick?
Okay. This is one that I didn't have to debate with myself over. Like, I just knew it was going to fall in forever. And that is Living Single. I could watch that show over and over every single day for the next, alive, not even afterlife, today.
Yeah.
And still laugh at every single joke. Living Single, amazing. Amazing show.
It's really going with your vibe of Black friendship.
That's what it is.
And a great theme song.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's always randomly in your head, but like, I will definitely find myself just singing a couple bars of Living Single on the regular.
What's the theme song?
We are living single. In a 90s kind of world, I'm glad I got my girls.
Head up, what?
Keep your head up. That's right.
It's very good. And there's someone like dancing their lights off in the opening, like just owning it. Like, boom, cat, cat. That was her moment.
That's something we don't really talk about when it comes to Forever shows, but it really has to have, or it's a big bonus to have a really strong theme song or opening credits, because you can't skip it.
No, you can't skip that song. It's so good. Living Single, is, like you said, I'm laughing because you got me to the core, Brandy. Like, I think I should put that in my bio. Black female friendship, snazzy song. I'm basic, I told y'all. I'm very easily won over. And it's funny watching the show now because I lived in New York, but it's a show about a group of friends. It was the original Friends, but I'm not going to get into that.
We can get into it.
It's a show about a group of friends living in New York. If you have watched Friends, it's very similar for a reason. Hmm. It's been accused of by many people of being the copycat. Like, the person who ran NBC at the time was like, oh, I love Living Single. And then they made Friends like a year later. Mm-hmm. But it is like the purest form of friendship. Everyone is funny. Everyone is hilarious. Queen Latifah's in it. Like, oh, I love Queen Latifah. So that's like a win. Mm-hmm. And they all have like really like fun jobs. They're young in the city, owning it, dating, work life. It's hilarious. And it's like your mid to late 20s, early 30s. And I just feel like it's so true and it still holds true. Also, the character who I think birthed me as a person, I found on that show. Maxine Shaw is like who I am as it. I loved her when I was a child. Like, I didn't understand. I was a child being like, that's it. That's my icon. And I feel like every day where I feel like Maxine Shaw is a win. Mm-hmm. Her energy, her boss bitch attitude, hottie with a body, did not care, very great at work, owning people, owning men. I just like, I feel like that is who I was like, huh, that's who I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. That's who I am.
Girl, I can't believe Brad is married. You think after God created dogs, she'd know creating men was redundant. Today, my look and my law were fierce. I got my client the house, the Winnebago, alimony, and 70% of all the assets he tried to conceal. I left that man with nothing but a lint ball and half a Tic Tac. Ha! Don't touch me unless you want to get burned!
Work, Miss Honey!
Get that fever! You go, girl! You give it to me!
What were, like, the character dynamics, right? Because this came before Friends. Did it have a similar three guys, three girls? And like, what was like the breakdown, like the cast and their kind of like their thing with each one of them?
So it's four women, two men. The core group is always the female friendship of it all. So cool. It's the four, it's like, I think end of the first episode ends with them dancing in the bathroom. And that's when you're like, okay, this is a show about four women's friendship.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Queen Latifah's character, who like Khadijah, who like runs a magazine that's like young and hip. What I'm dreaming about, like my New York life, I was like, that's what I'm gonna do. Like, it's in the industry and the media, and she's cool. Maxine Shaw is an amazing attorney with the spiciest comebacks. Can hold anyone, can take anyone down. It's amazing. There's a quirky character who's Khadijah's cousin, who's just a little oddball.
Sure.
There's like, I guess Rachel or Monica would be Regine, but I don't, if they were merged, I don't know. She's like beautiful, obsessed with.
Yeah, because I feel like Kim Coles' character, that's the Phoebe.
The Phoebe, okay. But just like beautiful and like, honestly, the core themes, like the perfect show if you're going to put, I guess it's the same trope that has like, that Girls has, that Friends has, where you hit every different version of kind of a girl in the way, and they're just friends through and through, and I think they bring out the best in each other. Yeah. And the guys are add-ons. Like, they're hilarious. And it this core group that is there together forever and will be with each other through, like, the worst of times. And it's hilarious. They're all so talented. All of them are multi-talented. Like, they can all sing and, like, dance. They have their moments in the seasons where they do that. So.
All right. Living Single. Great first entry in the Forevers. What are you watching on a loop in the afterlife next to Living Single?
Okay. This is because it was in the Forever lane, and I was like, what can I watch forever and ever and ever? And there were so many different iterations of it. It's Real Housewives, y'all.
Okay.
It's Real Housewives.
Okay. We do make you pick. You got to pick a franchise.
This is hard. I thought I was beating the game.
Yeah.
That I can watch forever. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is going to be really hard because the one that's my favorite right now doesn't have enough seasons. But it's my favorite because I feel like I was with them when no one liked them. Okay. People did not like Potomac.
Potomac is everything.
Yes. People did not like, they had horrible wigs. Their drama wasn't that great. It wasn't like the right cast, but I saw a little seed of like the it girls there. them, they became the it girls these last two seasons.
Yeah.
So I'm like obsessed with them. They only have like what, five seasons, six seasons? Like it's not enough.
I think they're on their sixth season now.
Okay.
So Potomac is in the mix, but it might not be the forever. But again, this is also all future seasons, right? And it's not stopping anytime soon.
Okay. The series I'm going to choose is having a rough moment right now. Like they didn't have their best season just now, so don't judge me. But it's an evolution thing, and I think it's going to swing back. It's Atlanta. I quote Atlanta all the time. White refrigerator? I quote all the time.
Peter and Women's Business?
When Phaedra read her? Are you kidding me? That was the meanest quote. I won't even quote that. When she was like, he needed $10 for a Domino's pizza. Those ladies, like, they work so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think when Atlanta first started, like, when it came, like, think about, like, the other franchises. They were the only Black, like, only Black franchise. I think there was a lot of, there's obviously, like, a lot of stereotypes in Bravo, these things. And, like, the way that they held their own and weren't, like, trying to whitewash who they were, I really respect in that time. Mm-hmm. So even though I didn't love all of the cast, I respected all of them. Like, even, like, Kim, who I cannot believe she was, like, 30 when that show first started. But even it's Kim.
Mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing. Like, how she has acted in that show with mostly Black women, and I know 2022 eyes, like, in that time, I didn't see as many microaggressions that I would see now. And compared to other Bravo shows, I will give her that. Like, the way it wasn't, God, they just were so unapologetic. And they gave, like, who gonna check me, boo? I think I just wrote that as a caption. Wasn't that 15 years ago? The impact that they have. So it's Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's Atlanta. I could watch Atlanta over and over again.
Summer, September, the joggers are coming.
What? Summer, September, like, fall. I just, like, they're hilarious. Those women are hilarious. Get them a comedy special. Like, that twirl Gone with the Wind Fabulous, the point where Beyonce is quoting you in songs? Kenya! Oh, wow. It's so good.
So, Atlanta and Potomac are the two that I can get Moses to engage with. Like, I was like, Moses, just so you know, like, Peter just showed up on Potomac.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Which also, why are you there? But can I say the funniest moment of, it was at a reunion when Portia was still on the show and she was reading Eva. And keep in mind, this is like very early pandemic when she said her boobs were social distancing.
Yes.
The layers of that joke.
Portia is, like, low-key one of the funniest people on television.
Hands down. They all need comedy specials.
That's a great choice. There are a ton of seasons. It's definitely not going anywhere.
Amira, this has been an absolute blast. So to recap, I May Destroy You and This Is Us are the best shows that Amira Lawali has ever seen. Big Brother and As Told by Ginger are her favorite shows of all time. And she would watch Living Single and The Real Housewives of Atlanta forever.
It's a great, great criteria. And before we sign off, we have a quick little lightning round that we didn't tell you about.
Oh, great. Okay.
That's what makes it fun. So for this, we have a mini BFF where we ask you to choose a best, favorite, and forever in a surprise category. Okay. And because it's a lightning round, you only need to pick one thing for each category. Okay. So, personalized to you, Amira Lawali.
Ooh.
What is your mini BFF documentaries?
Oh my God, this is hard. Mini BFF. Oh, this is so hard. I know I'm going to be mad at myself. I know I'm going to leave here. Oh no, I know it.
You got a best favorite forever?
I got it. Wow.
Let's do it.
Okay. This is kind of on brand. I would say the name, Wild Wild Country.
Oh, sure.
Let me tell you why, because one is a cult doc, cult spaces, 10 stars. But the fact that this woman, I was on her side till the very end and she was doing horrible things until I realized that she was going to kill someone. That's what I literally, when she was like, I brought people and I swung the vote. I swung kind of, I was like, you're right, girl. You got a cute haircut. You wear bright colors and you're right. They are racist. I was on her side till the very end when she was just doing wild, wild things. And at the very end, when she was about to stick a needle in someone and poison them, that's when I was like, maybe I just joined a cult. That doc is so good.
That's good.
I realized I am very basic to the point where if you got a cute haircut, a boss attitude, and you wear nice colors, I might fall into your cult. And for that reason, I love that doc.
Okay. So that's a good best. What's your favorite?
Favorite. favorite for dogs. Okay, this is hard.
Oh, okay. This is favorite because I thought it was so funny. Did you guys watch the Lululemon doc?
Yes, and I loved it.
So funny.
It was so funny. The way that they would just like hold on people during the interview.
Yes.
Like for just like an extra 5 to 10 seconds.
So funny. It was like a fun ride. It was weird. I remember Lululemon in real life, but I did.
Sure.
LuLaRoe.
You're right. LuLaRoe.
Sorry, Lululemon.
Sorry.
Don't sue us.
Sorry. LuLaRoe.
So what's the name? Is this the LuLaRich doc? Is that what it
yes.
is?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. I'm sensing a theme here. What's your forever documentary?
I don't know.
Watch one every day, what would
one
it be?
One every day. Oh, then it's 100% True Life. True Life also birthed me. Like, True Life is like the nosiest show. But it was also very rude. It would be like, True Life, I have anger management. True Life, I'm dating my best friend's ex. Right. Like, what? Like, True Life, like, I want to fight. It was just so messy.
The one that I always think about is, True Life, I want calf implants.
I was exactly. just thinking of the calf implants.
True Life was so messy. It was so good. And I think that's probably my, I would say my villain origin story, but like my origin story for dogs, because I just want to know, I want to be in your business. Real life is messier than anything anyone can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So I love dogs. And now I'm going to think about what dogs I forgot and probably message y'all in the middle of the night.
That's okay. We welcome it.
Please do. Please do.
Okay, good.
I love it. And with that, Amira, that is a wrap on this episode of TV BFFs. But thank you so, so much again for coming on, Amira Lawali. Where can we find you? What are you up to? Tell us.
Ooh, okay. So I host a podcast with one of my good friends called The Table Is Ours, where we talk to Black icons about different things from motherhood to mental health. We have weekly episodes, and you can find that wherever you get your podcast. And it's at The Table Is Ours on all social media.
Check out that podcast, rate, review, subscribe. You can also do that to ours as well. You can check us out on Instagram at TVBFFpodcast or send us a note. Email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, we would love to hear from you all. So reach out and send us your six. We want to know your top six shows of all time and where they fall on your own personal BFF criteria. So send us your picks and we'll share our favorites on the podcast. Until next time, goodbye, friends.
Bye.
Yo, that was so much fun.
Yay. You've arrived here at the critical moment.